Good morning, New York City. This is Sunday, October the 25th, and this is Tell It From Calvary, coming to you from Calvary Baptist Church, right here in the heart of Gotham, the Big Apple, the city that never, ever sleeps. I'm Dave Epstein with the great privilege of being the pastor emeritus at Calvary Baptist Church, and I'm in the studio with a great brother, a longtime colleague and co-worker in the gospel ministry, Mick Munoz across the glass, who directs all of Calvary Communications. And Mick, it's always so good as we do the radio to see you. I'm in Florida, you're in New York City, but modern technology brings us together and allows us to talk to our brothers and sisters all around the city, and just good to see you again.
Absolutely. You're in Florida, I'm in New York, and yet here we are.
Yeah, here we are. And Mixter, at what a time in our nation, right? With an election, what, 9 days away now, I believe it is. This is why we're running this series, you know, Let the Church Be the Church, If My People. And because it's important that as believers, as we go to the polls and as we also enjoy and utilize our privilege and responsibility as American citizens to vote, we need to always remember that our first priority and commitment is to serve Jesus as our King and His kingdom as our arena to be a witness for Him long before we are political in whatever way we vote, right? So it's keeping the main thing the main thing is what this message is about. And I thought it's a great time to run it just before and just after the election.
Yeah, both my grandparents grew up not having the ability to vote, not having a choice. Just their leader was their leader, and they were always bad. And it was always rough. So this is an important. It's important that we vote, and it's a privilege.
Absolutely, and we're going to talk today about something that can be very, very controversial and really uncomfortable for all of us as believers, whether we are Democrat or Republican. And that is, the Scriptures tell us to honor the King, to honor the President. And sometimes the Democrats will say, "You mean if he's a Republican president?" Or the Republicans will say, "You mean if he's a Democratic president?" And the Scripture says, you better believe it. You want to know if you're putting Christ in His kingdom first? You honor the president, regardless of political affiliation. Yep. So this is going to get interesting for the next two Sundays.
Them's fighting words, Pastor.
Absolutely.
No matter who's leading the country, you're going to get half of the people really upset.
Yeah. And we'll answer the question, what does it mean to honor the King in these messages?
Right. Because that needs to be unpacked. Because that's the understatement of the...
unpacked is very kind.
Well, let's get into that message. Again, you can find this whole series on our website, cbcnyc.org. That's cbcnyc.org. Also, join us in just a little while after our broadcast here for our Sunday service online. Click on the Facebook stream when you get to the homepage, and we'd love to have you join us for that and for our Q&A afterward. But now, we're going to get into a message from a series entitled, If My People, and this is, everybody buckle up, Honor the President.
What the Lord wants from His church is to be the real deal. So, are you ready for this message this morning? Is that your final answer? Are you sure? You remember part one, we talked about the only hope for America is for the church to be the church. That's the only hope. That's it. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive your sins. Then I will heal your land. That is the only hope for America, is for the church to be the church. Then last time in the message, Not the Real Deal, we saw one of the challenges in the professing church is many who profess are not believers at all. It's hard to believe that, but it's true. Don't ever take my word for it. We take the Apostle Paul's word for it in Philippians chapter 3. He says in verse 18, describing people in Philippi, And Philippi, of course, in Europe, where the gospel first came to Europe through the Macedonian vision. Remember the Macedonian call? A man said, come over and help us. And the mission of the gospel went to Europe, to Philippi, in Macedonia there. Paul says about some people in Philippi, some Jewish people who were professing Christ and some Greeks who were professing Christ, but were not genuine believers. He says, I have told you that many of them walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory is in their shame, and their minds are set on only on earthly things. And we said, am I one of them? That's the challenge. Am I one of them? Not the real deal. Profession means nothing. But we went easy on them. Now it's our turn, those that truly know the Lord today. Amen? Verse 20 of Philippians 3, but our citizenship is in heaven. God has his people in Philippi in ancient Greece. Both Jewish believers and Greek believers at that time were genuine. Their citizenship was in heaven. They were truly dual citizens. They'd been born and had a citizenship in their country, in Philippi, and the Roman citizenship, of course, and they had heavenly citizenship. Some thought they were dual citizens, and they were not. But by God's grace, we can be those dual citizens by faith in him. We have two dear friends here from Canada today, Wes and Sheila, right here. Stand, guys. It's okay. It's in the middle of the sermon. I love it. Stand up right there. Right there. Let's welcome them. Wes and Sheila were on our staff, and we worked together at the Metropolitan Bible Church. My first senior pastorate was in Canada. Wes helped lead our music, and Sheila was my executive assistant. And they are part of the real deal. And many in that church are in the real deal, as are you, by God's grace. The real deal. So what does that look like politically? You have an outline as well. You can follow today, and we're going to also follow next time, Lord willing. We want to get political, but in the biblical sense of the word, amen? Not a partisan sense of the word, but a biblical sense of the word. How do you know from a political perspective if somebody's the real deal serving God, but also having the privilege of their citizenship here as well? And notice the first way you know is that we respect Caesar and give him his due. We honor the king. We honor the prime minister. We honor the president. And we say, wow. Wow. What if we didn't vote for him? What if we don't like him? What if we wouldn't have a drink with him? And the Lord says, it doesn't matter. If you're the real deal, you honor the king. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 for a moment. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Peter writing to the believers, and Peter and Paul both were doing their ministry in the late AD 50s and the early AD 60s. They were doing their ministry under an emperor in Rome who ruled Rome from AD 54 to AD 68, called Nero. And he was not a good neighbor, by the way. He was a butcher. Nero was brutal. We'll talk more about him in a minute. And here's what Peter writes to the believers, to the real deal. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor, that's Nero at that moment, to the emperor as supreme in terms of the government leadership, or to governors as sent by God to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, he says to the believers, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor, honor Nero. Are you kidding me? What does that even mean? It's interesting. The word translated here, honor, is the Greek word timē, timē, and it means to value, it means to ascribe worth to, it means to put a high price on. So he's saying, value Nero, ascribe worth to Nero, put a price on him in a sense of a high price. Now, it's amazing. We think of honoring God, and he's the one we honor the highest. Take the word, the name Timothy, for instance. It actually has this word honor, timē, at the beginning, tim. That's right from the Greek. And then Timothy, the thi, is the word theos. In Greek, Timothy, the name Timothy is timotheos. It's two pieces of a word, meaning Timothy, the name means the one who honors God. Amen? And of course, we honor God at the highest level. No other one is honored the way we honor God. And yet God says there's a place to honor the king. Never as God, but there's a legitimate honoring of the king. Amen? And as Americans now, we are to highly value and ascribe worth to our president. I've shared in messages before that we began to truly demonize our presidents back in the 1990s when conservatives demonized President Clinton. And then liberals turned the trick also and began to demonize President Bush. And then the conservatives then began to demonize President Obama. And now President Trump is also being demonized. So the Lord says, as believers, we have to see it differently. Amen? We have to live differently so people know we serve a greater king. And we serve a greater kingdom than this kingdom. And we can be political. We have our rights, responsibilities. That's awesome. We can be as partisan politically as we want to be. Doesn't matter. But if in being partisan that way and exercising our rights and responsibilities that way, if the people we're sharing it with don't know that we serve a greater king and kingdom, then it's a disaster. Amen? Those are the presidents that we've prayed for since I've had the privilege, and Sandy and I have been here with you these last 21 years. President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, President Trump. So, why honor the president? Why does God call us to honor the president by ascribing value to this individual and praying for this individual and so forth? Why? First of all, and I want you to, we're going to run around the Bible just for a few minutes, so be ready to go, right? The first reason is because of the president's office, his or her. One day we'll have a woman who will be president of the United States, and whether it's him or her, we will honor the president, number one, because of his or her office, amen? Because there's a certain respect that belongs to that office. We're to value the work that the president does, what God has called the president to do. Even if you and I don't like the president, didn't vote for the president, can't stand the character of the president, don't like his policies, and would never want to play a round of golf with him, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Pick any president. And that's because of his office and what God has called him to do. And what has God called a an emperor or a prime minister or a president to do. Look back at, we just read 1 Peter, look back at verse 14, chapter 2. God sends these government leaders, and this is supported throughout the Bible, for one primary reason. And that is to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. You'll see that theme repeated in the scriptures in different ways. That God puts these people in authority ultimately to do justice, amen? And in doing justice, that's the number one responsibility from a biblical perspective, is to punish what is evil and to always honor and reward what is good. Presidents get off the track. But it's important to see what God designed it for, amen? Now, turn back from 1 Peter to Romans and see this just a little bit more. Specifically, when God says we want you to punish evil and to reward good, a lot of that is in the context of pursuing justice and hindering personal vengeance. Amen? That's why laws are written, to try to protect individuals, but for the government to stand for what is just and right and to hinder vigilantism. That's a lot of what goes on, whether that's personal and physically violent or whether it's at the corporate level, wherever that happens, the government is supposed to pursue what? Justice. And so in light of the office, there's a respect that is due. It also helps us to know how to pray, that the president would have the courage and the insight and the character to punish evil, but always to honor what is good. So we read in Romans chapter 12. Let's begin at verse 14. He's talking to individuals now. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless, don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil. Repay no one evil for evil. Give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. He's talking about our individual responsibilities as believers. Amen. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So even at the individual level, the Lord says, don't ever take it out on somebody else. Don't ever try to get back and get vengeful, but trust God to be just. Amen? He says, to the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. That is, you'll convict him with your love and kindness, basically. Don't be overcome by the evil, but overcome evil with the good. That's the individual, amen? The individual level. Now notice how he moves to the government level now. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Remind you of 1 Peter 2. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And we say what? He says, yeah, God ordained government in general, but anybody who is particularly individually in power anywhere, God has a role in that. God is behind it because he's sovereign. We say, what? But always for God's good purposes, remember, right? For justice, punish evil, reward and honor good. That's the basic idea. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur what? Incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Now, that's obviously God's purpose and plan, amen? That government is not to be a terror to the good, but only to those who are evil. Now, we know that doesn't always hold true. In either America or in any other country, sometimes governments pervert their authority, obviously. But we're talking about what God wants, what God establishes government to do when they do it the right way, amen? This is the blueprint. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad when they're governing the way they're supposed to govern. Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Do what's good, you'll receive his approval. For he's God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for the government does not bear the sword in vain. That is, God has not given government the authority to punish evil for no reason. For he is the servant of God. That is, government is supposed to be the servant of God, including the president. An avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of your conscience as a believer. For because of this, you pay taxes. Probably a lot, most of us don't. No, I'm just kidding. We all pay taxes. Yeah. Is there any place we don't pay taxes? No, of course not. In New York, you know we pay taxes, right? For because of this, you pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, again, ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue, respect to whom respect, honor to whom honor is owed. And he says, honor the king. This is God's plan for the king when the king lives and acts the way God wants him to do. Interesting, right? Wow. So, because of the office of the president and what God wants to do through that office, the good stuff, we're to honor the king, the president, because of the office. Amen? First thing. And sometimes when we see stuff go on now, and all, not just now, but in the history of our country, in the office, we say, are you kidding me? Wow. And God says, I know. Wow. He says, do it anyway, you're believers. Honor the office. Amen. Respect God's purposes in this, even as you hold those in power accountable when they get out of line. It's tricky. But you know what? We serve a greater king, so we can do this by God's grace. Notice, secondly, that we honor the king, we honor the president in our case, because of his or her value as a human being, made in God's image, for whom Jesus Christ died. When we read in Genesis chapter 1 that God said, let's make mankind in our own image, after our own likeness. And God made man in his own image and likeness. Male and female, he made them. That even includes every individual who got elected president that you and I didn't vote for. President Clinton is made in the image of God. He has value as a human being. President Bush, President Obama, President Trump, made in the image of God, loved by God. For God so loved the world. I shared the story of my dear wife Sandy's conversion to Christ as a teenager. The counselor said to her, Sandy, don't just read that verse, for God so loved the world. Make it specific, make it individual. For God so loved Sandy that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Make it personal, because it is personal. For God so loved Bill Clinton. For God so loved George Bush. For God so loved Barack Obama. For God so loved Donald Trump. Amen. We honor the president because of the value of the president as a person. Amen? God says, you're different. You're believers in Christ. You serve a greater king and kingdom. You can get this right. Even as you have your personal convictions politically, as you vote the way you are led to vote, as you hold people accountable in whatever party when they get out of line, that's all good. But you're believers. Amen? You honor the president because of the office, because of the fact that God wants them to pursue justice, and because the president is made in the image of God and Christ loves him. And then he says, also honor the president. We read a little bit of that in Romans 12.
He says, because God is sovereign. He's sovereign. And that God has established government in general, and he's raised up and put people in power individually. You say, how can that be? And we say, do we believe the Bible or not? I don't know how God does it, but it says he does. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, full of will and purpose. Other than that, he doesn't have a lot going for him. I say that respectfully and reverently. He's only all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, full of will and purpose. If anybody can do it, he can do it. Amen? God is sovereign, and God has established government in general and raised up and put people in power individually. President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, President Trump, for God's own purposes. Mm-hmm.